Welcome to the Hockey Show on ESPN Chicago. The very latest news and analysis from the NHL and Chicagoland hockey. Brought to you by Chevy Drive Chicago. Now here are your hosts, Barstool Chief and Pat Boyle.
Through. Bedard trying to catch up to it. Wolf on the play, scores! Bedard able to pull Q and in as Wolf misplayed the puck.
Ryan Green down the left side. Goes cross ice. Here's his ice score! Connor Bedard! What a shot by number 98! He'll try it from his own zone for the hat trick! He's got it! Connor Bedard! Second career hat trick! 5-2 Hawks!
It's been the Connor Bedard Show on the West Side. Two hat tricks in 10 days. Welcome into the Hockey Show, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Chevy drives Chicago. Bedard drives the Blackhawks. With Barstool Chief, I am Pat Boyle. How the hell are you, Chief?
I don't think I've been better. Riding high on a hot streak. Another hat trick for Connor Bedard. The team's still in a wild card spot, so it was the same thing last week. They just keep winning. It's fun. I'm having fun in Chicago watching hockey, and that's a novel concept, but it's going great.
Yeah, I don't know if this changes my expectations about them making the playoffs, but
look, Thanksgiving's here.
Yeah, and we know that if you're in a playoff position for American Thanksgiving, 75% of the time, you usually make the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, so in theory, a big one. Coming up against Seattle because they're right behind the Hawks for that in the wild card. So you win that game, you give yourself a little cushion before I think Colorado comes in on Sunday for a real test, and you kind of find out what
little
you
trip
are.
To Buffalo on Friday,
and who could forget about the Buffalo Sabres in between? So yeah, it's enough of a sample size where I think you can say like, hey, this team's got something going. There's going to be ups and downs like any team, and especially with a young team. But I think it is reasonable to be expecting big games with playoff implications down the stretch at this point.
Are you checking the standings more or the NHL points leaders and leaders in goal scoring because of Connor being at the top of the list?
I'm a team guy.
Team first with Chief.
The team. So all, you know, I've said for years on this show, I just care about habits. The habits are there, the points will come, and to me it's all about, you know, who cares if a guy has 120 points if you're in dead last? So the fact that it's all coming together is beautiful. I don't care about the leading scorers. One kind of follows the other. Obviously, the Hawks wouldn't be where they are without Connor Bedard. But the way he's playing away from the puck, too, is great. So the winning habits all throughout the lineup. So I'm checking the standings. I post Good Morning on Twitter with the standings update every day. And it's been a good morning just about every day.
No, it has been. It's been fun to go to the United Center. It's been fun to watch this team each and every night. And I'm feeling the momentum growing throughout the city. I saw Tyler Aki and Charlie at the game last night.
Yeah, I was there last Wednesday. Tyler was at that one as well.
That was a late game,
it
right?
It was the late
8:50 drop.
The TNT game. Well, you know, a good showing, though.
Yeah.
Like last year, that game, you know, it's first home game back after a long trip. That's a trap game for every team in the league. And they got a point against a pretty good New Jersey Devils team and then, got right back to their winning ways.
So Connor Bedard is tied for second in goals with 13. He is fourth in the league in scoring with 29 points behind Nathan MacKinnon and Macklin Celebrini. Celebrini last night, he puts down a hat trick as well, his second of the season. These two guys are both from North Vancouver. They trained in the offseason. They became close. And it's like they're going back and forth on different coasts. You know, like, I see your hat trick. I raise you three over here, sir.
It's Bird and Magic. It's Sid and Ovechkin. It's like you need...
Could this be the next Sid OV type of rivalry?
I hope so. They're friends and that's all well and good. I love hatred, and I think especially in hockey, like, I hate the Calgary Flames now. I can't wait to play them again because they're kind of a gutless team the way that they handled themselves last night. They hit on Connor Murphy and kind of the scraps along the boards after they get their doors blown off in the third period. So I would love
Bedard got it with Coronado.
Bedard too. He's so feisty.
He's such a feisty boy, that Connor
this
year.
Didn't know that was in the bag.
I did not. So yeah, I would love it if you know, like you think back, you know, the last run we always reference, but they had those battles with Anaheim and the battles with LA. And maybe it is more of an LA Blackhawks vibe where it was just, you know, there was bad blood, and I think Corey Crawford tried to get in a fight with Jonathan Quick and Bernier every chance he had, but it wasn't like the blood feud that you had against Vancouver and maybe Anaheim. It was just great hockey, and those are some of the most entertaining series. So maybe, you know, I would love it if someday San Jose against Chicago resembled those Chicago versus LA series where it's just like you cannot miss a second because the hockey was so good.
Look, I think there's some comparisons between Bedard and Caleb Williams. I think there's some comparisons between the Hawks and Bears. I think obviously in the National Football League, and we see it every year, teams go from last to first. So it's not out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
But you look at the coaching change. I think it's made a difference in both places.
I put a future on Blashill in the Jack Adams today, plus 1,700.
Let's begin there. Who would you think has the better chance of winning Coach of the Year, Ben Johnson or Jeff Blashill?
I think it's Blashill.
Really?
And I'm leaning towards saying the Blackhawks have a better chance of making the playoffs too.
Okay, so let's get into that because I think that's a real conversation. As great as the start of this season has been, 10-5-4, 24 points, top of the wild card. That means, you know, they're a point or two from being out of the mix as great as they've played. And with the goaltending that they have received, the best goaltending in the National Hockey League, I liken it to the takeaway situation that the Bears have enjoyed for the first 11 weeks of this season. And it's camouflaged or masked the deficiencies on the defensive side because of the takeaways.
Yeah.
Is it sustainable? And, I mean, that's the question you ask if you're watching the Bears on a Sunday. Are they going to come away with two or three? And when you watch the Blackhawks, one of the questions you have is, can Spencer Knight and Arvid Soderblom keep this up?
Yeah, I would always bet on talent. I think Spencer Knight is a much better, more reliable player than what the Bears can do on defense. And Kevin Byard, you know, making turnovers, and Nation Wright's had his moments, Edmonds has had his moments. But I just think that there's more talent in Spencer Knight than there is in the Bears' defense. So I think it's more predictable in a way. And some of it is just the reality of the schedule for the Bears, where it's just I think they need 3 to 4 wins in their last seven to give themselves a really good shot. And even that, 3 and 4 down the stretch, you finish 10-7. I have the feeling that's not going to be enough.
Really? You don't think 10 is going to get you in?
I don't think so. So it all kind of comes. I think this is for the Bears. I know this is a hockey show. They have to win on Sunday against the Steelers.
Yeah.
So that, to me, then you're kind of like through the looking glass a little bit.
Did you hear what Big Cat said?
No, what did he say?
He said it's the best of seven starts.
Yeah.
You know, they got to win 4 of the remaining 7 to punch their ticket.
Yeah. So
it's like a Stanley Cup playoff
Steelers
round.
Big Cat just has the best little takes. That's a really good way to put it. So if it's Steelers, Browns, and a split with the Packers, that's 3. And then you got to find one more in there somewhere if it's San Francisco or the Lions or something. But it's going to be really tough for the Bears. I think they both could do it. Like, what a time to be in Chicago.
Wow.
But I think the Blackhawks, like, I do think that there's some baked-in improvement coming, too. And I think, you know, we've already seen Levchinov take a big step. I think, you know, Renzel had a healthy scratch, you know, recently. I think that he'll improve as the year goes along. And, you know, and who knows? It's like Bedard probably, I don't know if anybody could keep up this pace. He's at 2 points a game in his last 10 or over that. I think it's 21 points in his last 10 games. So it's going to be very difficult. But I think they've got something special cooking. The way they stand up for each other, the way they compete all over the ice, it's never easy to play against the Chicago Blackhawks this year.
Connor Bedard was asked last night after his second hat trick in 10 days and the victory 5-2 over the Flames, what the biggest difference is in the locker room from this year to the previous two? And here's what Connor had to say.
It's been fun. We're obviously early, 19 games in, but it's just been a lot of fun. We're so determined to go out there and win. And, you know, even today we give up a goal to obviously get them back in the game, end of the second, right at the start of the third, they score. That's something that can deflate a team. But we go right back out there, we get another one, then we get another one. So we're just really determined, and we're having a lot of fun together. We love each other, and we want to play for each other. So that shows a lot.
We love each other.
You hear that a lot.
And you know what? I really think that matters.
I do too.
I think that can carry you over the line where you're playing for each other. So I think that's a great thing to hear from this group. It's something they really, you know, they've been lacking. It feels like it's been a dysfunctional room kind of almost since like 15, 16, you know. So they've had a lot of issues for, you know, on the ice, off the ice, guys coming in, you know, changing of the guard, the whole thing. It just has felt like a disjointed locker room. They feel unified right now.
Yeah. For so long, they were holding on to the key pieces and hoping to retool.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went through that up and down. Are they retooling? Are they rebuilding? And finally, when Kyle took over, direction
clear
took place and a plan was there, build through the draft. And honestly, Chief, this National Hockey League, while I do think, like, look at the teams that made it to the Stanley Cup Finals last year. They're veteran teams. They're teams that have a lot of players in their mid-30s,
mm-hmm.
and they've got that edge to their game. But during the regular season, I'm seeing speed wins. I'm seeing young teams all over the place that are taking the compete level to another level, and your run-of-the-mill team that has a lot of veterans that can't compete speed-wise is struggling.
I mean, look at the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yes.
Okay? Like, there's a lot of teams that kind of fit that bill that you're describing. And I would argue, again, I think you're right about that, where it's like the speed wins and the young legs win. And this team, I think they might be, top to bottom, the fastest team in the NHL. All their D are big and mobile.
And that's the underrated part. You know, when you talk speed, you tend to lean towards the forwards and how fast. And that goal that Bedard got where he pokers it in.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't get to that puck a year ago.
100%.
Doesn't get to it.
He might have gone for a change last year. You know, honestly. And that's not even a slight, but it's like, it's just a different mentality where it's like every puck belongs to them, every loose puck. And I think, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, man, and they've shown improvement in the faceoff circle. We talked about it last week. They're still not above 50% as a team. It's an area that you'd like to see improve.
Yes.
But they're dogs on a bone.
Right.
So it's almost like when they lose a draw, they're so quick that they play a high pressure. You know, they're on you. So it does feel like it's not even that big of a deal because they do a great job of getting it back.
Yeah.
So I think that as the defensive improves and more time with Blashill and everybody's more comfortable with the systems, that I think they're just a pretty good team.
No,
at the end of the day, I think they're pretty good.
And that love that Bedard talks about, it also, if you know, we always talk about is that player, does he got that dog mentality,
mm-hmm.
right? And I would have said at the beginning of the season, you know, that's probably an area we lack in
for sure.
That. You know, again, I don't know if it's a trait you can develop, but clearly some things can change.
I'm having to change my whole philosophy on that.
Bedard has it.
He does.
And it just took until year three to see it on a regular basis.
Yeah, and I do.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. And coaching, I think, is part of that.
Coaching and culture. And it's, I do think it's one of those things where because he is the rock star and the chosen one and all that, it has to start with him. Because if you can't, it's like the old Michael Jordan, Larry Bird. Like, I never asked anybody to do something I wasn't willing to do myself. And he's doing all of those things. And I think that attitude, your star player, it's a hockey cliche. But your best players have to be your best players. And he sets the tone for everybody. And it's, I don't think it's like a coincidence that they're all doing it. And they're all pulling from the same rope. And Blashill's pushing the right buttons. And it's like, yeah, sure, 7D, you know, whatever. It's like kind of, they're doing some unconventional things. But it's all working right now. And this is one of those things, and I feel this way about the Bears when people are – I felt like I dipped into a little bit of negativity. It was only compared to the Hawks. But it's like, you know, you got to enjoy the good times when you're in them. And right now, these are fun and good times, and who knows what's in the future. But right now, this team is young and fun and exciting, and they love each other, and I love them right back.
Your thoughts on the Blackhawks' start to the season? We're almost at the quarter pole. They are in the top wild card position. Connor Bedard is among the league leaders. They're doing this too, this winning streak. They've gone 5-0-1 in their last six with a lot of key players out of the lineup. We'll get into that. Last night, Bedard wore the A on his sweater, and that was not just handed to him. He earned that.
Well earned.
We'll get into it, Chief. Does that mean we're going to see the C eventually go on there when Foligno departs? And again, back to the conversation between the Bears and the Blackhawks. What's more surprising? The Bears are in first place after week 11 in the NFL, or that the Blackhawks are in the playoff spot 20 games into the season? 312-332-3776. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief
on the AM at 1000, on the FM at 100.3 HD2, on your phone through the ESPN Chicago app. The Hockey Show, Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app from anywhere.
The Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Welcome back to the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000, brought to you by Chevy Drive Chicago with Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. The phone number to reach us is 312-332-3776. We've got Tony Granato, former NHL coach and player, and now CHSN analyst for the Blackhawks. He will join us at the top of the hour. He coached with Jeff Blashill in Detroit, sat down with him this past week. We'll get his thoughts on transformation he's seen with Bedard, what the Blashill effect really is this sustainable? But it's been fun, like you said, and it kind of goes hand in hand with what the Bears have done, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you win all these one score. I mean, that's a one score league, so
yeah.
You know, this year they're winning all the one score games.
Mm-hmm.
Last year it was the Commanders that were winning all the one score games,
yeah.
And then usually you get the tougher schedule the following year, and then there's the regression to the mean.
Yeah, and I do think that there's an element with the Bears specifically where it's like last year they invented new ways to lose. This year they're finding ways to close out games, and they're making plays. It's like, yeah, their schedule has been weak, and they've had some good fortune with turnovers and whatever. They're still making the plays at the end of the games that they have to make in big moments. So they deserve credit for that too. It's not – you know, last year was so miserable with them. This year, Ben Johnson and Caleb and all those guys, they're making the plays they have to make, and they're playing who's on their schedule, and they're getting wins. You can't ask for much more than that.
How about the Blackhawks with the key players they've missed over the last 2 weeks? So Dickinson remains out. He is close to returning to action. Bertuzzi's missed the last few games.
He's on fire.
On fire and a big part of that power play. Foligno's going to be out for a month, mm-hmm, with a broken hand. Nazar missed a couple of games. Mikheyev before that. I mean, I'm talking on a team that, let's say, is overplaying their hand a little bit or out above their skis a little bit. They don't have a lot of margin for error when it comes to injuries. They haven't, yeah, missed a beat when some of these key players have left the lineup. They've continued to rack up points.
You're 100% right. I wonder if some of it is maybe we should believe in the young players more.
Yeah.
Because Oliver Moore has come up, and he's been a very nice contributor. Ryan Green, who thought that he would
thought
be?
Thought he was going to be in Rockford.
Thought he was going to be in Rockford or at best fourth line center.
Right.
And he's playing top line minutes. The pass to Bedard last night for Bedard's second goal.
Beautiful.
Where he, you know, controls the puck along the wall.
Sauces it
through traffic. The Blackhawks put out this, I don't know if it was a drone or what, but this super slow-mo overhead camera view of that.
That got me warm and fuzzy.
Oh, I love it.
It moved.
I absolutely loved it. I loved it.
Boing, yoing, yoing, yoing. Thanks, you hoodie.
Yeah, so that's one of those, you know, they're getting big-time NHL minutes from guys that they weren't necessarily. So maybe they're just a little bit deeper than we thought, where you last year and certainly the year before. It's like you lose 3-4 guys that are your NHL regulars. You don't have anyone else to put in that spot.
Look, Sam Lafferty couldn't get into the lineup.
Yeah.
He had one of the nicest goals of the season.
It was sick.
Well, and I think that was like his 4th or 5th game at the time.
Yeah.
So, like, there is something to the depth.
Mm-hmm.
Again, speed is up and down this lineup. But the secondary scoring, you got to have the Bedards and the Nazars on the score sheet, but you have to have the Slaggerts and the Colton Docks.
Lev Shunov.
And
making plays.
Yeah.
You know, so
he's among the league leaders for rookie defensemen in assists.
He's got 10 assists. Like, I mean, he's
got more than Schaefer, I believe, right there.
Right there. So it's Schaefer's unbelievable.
Oh,
but Lev is.
The league is really in a good spot right now.
It really is. There's so much young talent coming, the exciting young talent. But it's like, you know, I think, again, like, I don't. This isn't like one or two games now. You know, 20 games, a quarter of the season.
Yes.
So at some point.
And they've been on the road for a majority of it.
Yeah. So at some point, you're just going to be like, look, I think these guys might be pretty good. Like, they're all drafted, you know, pretty high for the most part, especially obviously Bedard, Nazar, Levshinov, all these guys. They're talented. So they might be, they're probably a year ahead of what we thought they'd be, but they might just be good players.
Let's slide in Tom here before the top of the hour. Tom in New Jersey, welcome back to the Hockey Show. How you doing tonight, Tom?
Hey, guys. Happy Wednesday from the Connor Bedard exit on the Garden State Parkway. love the show, and I'm so excited about the Hawks. I'm staying up later than I ever have because, of course, the games are going an hour later, but it's a great time to be a Hawk fan. You talk a lot about the new guys who, you know, are bringing a lot of excitement, but I want to mention a guy who I understand was just inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame, and that's one of my favorites, Duncan Keith. I don't think pound for pound there was a tougher defenseman, and to me, he's probably the greatest defenseman in Blackhawks history. I remember the game where he lost 7 teeth. I think he came back to play that game.
Only missed a couple shifts, Tom. That was against San Jose.
Scored the game winner when we beat Tampa in 2015. If you guys were to rank the top five, you know, all-time Blackhawks, like Chelios or Wilson or Seabrook, Phil Russell, Stapleton. There's an old guy named Pierre Pilote who I think's number is retired.
Yes.
Am I leaving anybody out?
Magnuson, probably, yeah.
Keith Magnuson, good old Maggie, University of Denver. What current Hawks defenseman would you have say right now has the greatest potential to become a Hall of Famer?
All right, Tom,
and
thank you. Thanks for the call. Let's start with his comment about Duncan Keith. I think he revolutionized the position, to be honest.
He's a perfect hockey player.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it, I think it was last week, in that cup run in 15, he averaged 31 minutes a game and nearly a point per game. So both ends of the ice, tough minutes, all situations. He was perfect. He was a perfect player, never got tired. I loved watching Duncan Keith. You can't really even compare anyone from this team to him. He was they have a lot of great young players, but to be like you're in the same breath as Duncan Keith after 20 games is just not appropriate. But you know, there's certainly exciting players here, but Keith was he's on a different level. He's such an animal, too.
No question. And I think he touched on all the great D-men in Blackhawks history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how you can compare Chelly and Duncan,
I would even put Jalmerson in that group too. He was as far as a defensive.
Yeah, I think you got to like break it down by category. Defensive defenseman,
and truthfully, even Chelios, all those guys are before my time. You know, like I didn't really watch Wilson or, you know, obviously Pierre Pilote.
Right.
Chelios, you know, I remember the end. I remember him more with Detroit than Chicago. So it's just like this, you know, probably mid-90s and on. It's got to be Keith.
Coming up next, Tony Granata, former NHL coach and player and current analyst for the Chicago Blackhawks, joins the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
The Hockey Show. When you're at home, don't miss Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Welcome back to the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000 with Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. We are brought to you by Chevy Drive Chicagoland, your Chicagoland, Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer, Chevy Drive Chicago. Drive with Chief Drives. How many games have you been to thus far?
I think I've been to four games. I went to New Jersey. I went to Anaheim. I don't know. I got to say, though, that New Jersey game, first game back, much better crowd, and it feels like people are starting to maybe take notice or just get hockey back on the radar because I would say even just watching on TV last night, it looked like it was a much better crowd.
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I would say it's been a better crowd. First of all, there was a story written in The Athletic about the attendance situation. I don't think it's been a friendly schedule to start this season. The Hawks had that 2 weeks where they were on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And they have had some of these quirky late night, middle of the week. Like, you know, it's a school night. Like, I don't know how many people are.
It is, but it's compared to the last several years where it was a worse situation and a worse team. And the crowds were better. So it's like, I don't know how you balance that. You can kind of twist numbers any way you want. But when you're watching games and there's 14,000 people in a stadium as cavernous as United Center, it you can tell. So I'm hoping that there's a buzz about this team because they are playing so well and they love each other. And it's just like the city, I feel like, you know, the Cubs had a nice run. The Bears are, it's a Bears town more than anything else. But I think everyone's ready to wrap their arms around a team and just having a team that can get us through the winter. But I still, you know, I think the TV thing is still a thing. Like, I talk to friends. I talk to coworkers at Barstool. I'm like, oh, did you watch the Hawks last night? I'm like, I still don't have the channel. Didn't watch, you know, like, it's not as readily available. And to me, I feel like it's still the marketing of this team, the storytelling of this team could be a little bit better, leave something to be desired. But I think as they keep winning, I think people will come back. And, you know, the United Center, when that place is humming, it is an unbelievable environment with the anthem and the crowd. And it's so big and cavernous that when it's full, it's like, oh, my goodness. So it makes it so much better.
Yeah, it's let's go back to the phone lines here. We're waiting to connect with Tony Granato here on the Hockey Show. Bill and the Gold Coast joins us now. Bill, thanks for being patient. How are you doing tonight?
Not a problem to be patient when it's a great day to be a Blackhawks fan, isn't it?
It's been fantastic.
So thank you for taking my call. I know the caller before me had a question more dipping into the past. I like to dip more into the future and just give you guys a hypothetical.
Okay.
So Connor Bedard is a blank player in the NHL. And when I say by that as a top 10, top 20 player in the NHL, I consider him to be at least top 20. I think by the end of the season, he may be top 10. If you look at the top 10 players, usually there's a bunch of centers, so he fills the position. But if he stays on this tear, and granted it's 20 games, it's going to be hard-pressed to tell me that he's not at least a top 20 player in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that right now, he's a top 20 player for sure, but I think he's trending towards top 10 for maybe.
He's a top 20 forward for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you include the D and the goalies, maybe it's a little bit, but I think he's right there. And it's one of those things. He's second in the league in scoring. So if he's at some point, it's undeniable. And it's not just the scoring, it's, you know, the improvement in the faceoff, it's the puck battles one. That's one point that I feel like, you know, the hat trick, it was great. It was, you know, shooting the puck, you know, 120 feet, 180 feet, whatever, how long it was. He loses the puck, loses a little physical battle, gets right back up, lifts the stick, gets underneath it, steals the puck, then shoots it down the length of the ice. So that's the type of play where it's like he has really elevated himself. Like he never gets taken out of plays, even if he loses one battle. Like we said earlier, he's a dog on a bone. He's right back on it, and that's made a huge difference.
All right, we've connected with Tony Granato. He joins us now on the Hockey Show, former NHL coach and player analyst now at CHSN. Tony, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, guys. How are we over there?
We're doing fine, and we're excited to talk about this team, as you and I are with Kaylee on a nightly basis on CHSN. You've been able to watch now, Connor, through the first 19 games, and everything has changed. The speed, the shot, the commitment to defense. With all that being said, if someone is just tuning in to ESPN 1000 right now and they haven't been able to watch Bedard, what have they missed? What would be the highlights that you have seen thus far from Bedard and the transformation in his game?
You know what, Pat? We discussed this during the games, after the games, before the games, and we're just trying to pinpoint one thing that's really, kind of ties everything together on what we're watching on the ice. And I just think it's a kid that's possessed, that somewhere over the summer, somewhere with the relationship with Jeff Blashill, has gained a confidence in going over the boards every time, feeling and believing that he's going to make a big play to help his team. And so I think it's just more of the confidence that he gained in whatever he did over the summer. We've been trying to kind of, do a little research to kind of figure out what exactly he did to make those improvements. He's been kind of secretive with it, which I think is even more fun to kind of go, gosh, what the heck was he doing, and try and figure it out. But really, since the first day of training camp, we noticed a major just difference in how he moves around the rink, how he acts in the dressing room, how he, every single drill and everything he does on the ice is with a purpose. And whether that confidence came from the coach and the first conversation they had, whether it was something he did with Macklin Celebrini over the summer, whether he had a skating coach, whether he just changed his training altogether in the summer, whatever it is, he did something extremely right.
Oh, I mean, he could bottle that up and sell it if he wants to leak the secrets out.
I don't think he's leaking the secrets out, though. I think this is his thing.
Well, great. Don't let anybody else know. Don't let any of the competition know. It's great. First of all, Tony, it's been great seeing you on the broadcast, too, so it's a welcome sight. You mentioned Jeff Blashill. You guys go way back. What do you think he's done this year that's different than he's done in the past, and what do you think he's done specifically to connect and get a lot out of this shockingly young group of defensemen? They probably have the youngest D-Corps in the league by far. What is he doing with them specifically that you've noticed?
Well, I think the one thing that he is very good at, he's very good at communicating to each player what he expects of them in their own role. And then to complement that, it's within the team structure. So, you know, I look at guys getting called up like Slager and Moore and different guys that, are, you know, just get called up and put in the lineup. However he does it, in whatever way, it makes it simple for the guy to go out there and play and not have to think. So I think that the way he's designed his system, the way he's practiced it, he's very detailed in the little things that happen in practice. Pat and I tomorrow are going to break down a goal on a neutral zone transition. It went D to D up to the winger, and the winger was Barakowski. Green came underneath. They chipped it behind the D, and then with the speed of Green coming across, he was able to get the puck behind their D and snap it across to Connor for that goal. They do that drill and the repetition of that route, I would guess, just about every practice. And so I think there's a confidence in each other that they know what their line mates are going to do, what their D partners are going to do. And because of that, they move in a group of five without having to think about, okay, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? Where are my line mates going to be? It's almost like it's in sync. And that's a tremendous compliment to a coach. When you watch a game as a former coach when you're doing a pre-scout, when you say, man, they're organized, they are in sync, they are playing as a unit of five. And that's what I think you can describe with the Blackhawks now. And I think when you do that, the individuals gain confidence in themselves because they feel that, you know, if they do make a mistake or if they're in a tough position, that the support is going to be there to help them through that situation.
Tony Granato joins us on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. When you were with Blashill in Detroit, he took over for Babcock, and it was his first time as a head coach in the National Hockey League. He was about 40 years of age, 7 years in Detroit, three behind John Cooper as an assistant on one of the gold standards in the NHL, the Tampa Bay Lightning. It seems like this is like the perfect time for him to take over a team. He's got the experience. He has seen how players like Kucherov have been treated. He sees how John Cooper handled things. And he saw, you know, what worked and didn't work in Detroit. What have you seen as some of the things that he has learned and maybe tweaked about his delivery here this go-around with the Blackhawks?
Well, first of all, I think he's, you know, because of that maturity in himself of having the experience of dealing with those type of players, I think that right out of the gate, his ability to communicate and recognize the fact that he's going to have to communicate differently with each player, respect, you know, where they've been, what their background is. The reason I say that is because, you know, we've been in awe of him on how he's had handled Levchinov.
Yeah.
Just even been very upfront with us from the media side of things, saying, hey, listen, I got a kid that age, and if I send him to Europe or to Russia or somewhere else to play hockey, I'd be worried crazy about him. I don't know if he'd be able to handle that. So I think he has the empathy and understanding of each player is different, and I think he's been able to relate that through his experiences that he's had with Kucherov, with Hedman, with Datsyuk, with Zetterberg, with Larkin, with all the other guys. And I think I always knew one thing about Jeff Blashill. He's a learner. He is so curious about watching what other teams are doing from a coaching, from a tactical, from a strategic standpoint that he always is wanting to learn, you know, what else is going on out there. And I think he's just put together in his mind, you know, what he would be when he did get his next opportunity as a head coach, what he learned from the past, like you said, what he learned from Coop, and kind of has put it all together in a way that this transition back behind the bench as a head coach has gone really smooth. And first of all, the opportunity of how excited he was when he got here, when he recognized the pieces that were in place, the relationship that he established with Kyle Davidson and the rest of the staff, bringing in the new coaches that he thought would complement and add things to what he already thought was a pretty good spot on his bench. I think he's made the right decisions. He's made it with authority. He's laid the rule of law kind of down really quickly within the organization on how we're going to play and what we're going to be as a team. And, you know, we mentioned it, I think, in the show yesterday, the edge that the Hawks have played with since the first day. There's a swagger to it. There's a, you want to push me around, I'm going to push you right back. And that comes from Connor. But it started, I think, with the confidence and the coaching staff has given in these guys to say, hey, you want to play that rough style against us? We're going to be ready for it. And actually, we're going to respond and play better when you do try to, you know, play that physical game with us. And for a young team to grasp on to the importance of bite, you know, you get bit, you bite them right back. You get cross-checked, you cross-check them twice right back. That mentality, when you're an opposing team, when you think you're going to push a team around and you get pushed back, sends a really good message to them and the rest of the league that, you know, they're serious. They're all about business right now. And Connor and Frank from day one, why can't we win right now? We're planning on winning right now, and we're going to win right now. And that's the attitude that's pretty much carried throughout the locker room.
Okay, I think that's the biggest question. We're debating, like, how real is this? I'm starting to dream of playoffs. It's been a pretty large sample size now. Is it okay to start thinking about having meaningful games down the stretch in March and April, or should we temper our expectations a little bit?
No, don't temper them, but also be realistic with the fact that there's going to be some bumps.
Mm-hmm.
But have the confidence in you know, what we just talked about, the coaching staff, the goaltending. We haven't even mentioned Spencer Knight. And that's the great thing about our team right now that we're covering is, and Pat, we get through an end of a show, and at the end of the show, gosh, we didn't even talk about Green or about Grizzlick or about Vlasic or about this or that or the other thing. There's so many positive things that are exciting to talk about and brag up that it's just a snowball of kind of activity throughout that whole lineup and through how everything's gone. So at the start of the year, and Pat and I talked about this, gosh, is it realistic to really put the expectations that this could be a year to make the playoffs? Probably not fair yet, still young, not sure about a couple different things. And then, as the season started, you look at each other and you go, man, oh, man, maybe they're a little bit more closer than we thought. And to go through a quarter of a season almost and be in this position, and every single game, at the end of the game, you feel like, gosh, I'm proud of those guys. They played hard. They battled. They competed. And if they can keep that up, they're going to find ways to get enough points to be in the race. And potentially, yes, this could be the year they're back in.
All right, Tony, we are back on the air tomorrow night. Seattle is in town. I just checked. It's a 7 o'clock puck drop, so a 6:30 pregame show.
Yes.
So I'm warning you now, and we will see if this team can keep it going, make it 7 straight games without a regulation loss.
I think they can do it, Pat.
All right.
Why not, right?
Tony, thank you for joining us tonight, and really appreciate the knowledge and learning something from you every night on CHSN, and I will see you tomorrow.
Likewise, Pat. Thanks, you guys. Have a great night. See you tomorrow.
That's Tony Granato joining us on The Hockey Show. We're back to wrap things up after this.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. The Hockey Show. Pat Boyle hosts Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans. The Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Welcome back to The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000, brought to you by Chevy Drive Chicago. Our video stream is brought to you by Dr. Pepper. Scan the QR code to enter to be one of two fans and a guest to attend the Tundra Trio, Green Bay versus Chicago, on December 7th. It's brought to you by Dr. Pepper. Grab an ice-cold Dr. Pepper at your neighborhood McDonald's. Thanks to Aiden O'Connor, our producer tonight, handling everything behind the glass. And, we were kind of talking about the Bear-Blackhawks situation and the comps with Caleb and with Connor Bedard. Who do you think has made a bigger step in their development from, in this case for Caleb from year one to now, or from Connor's perspective, year two till now?
Well, I do think that it's Connor by a wide stretch. Having said that, I think playing quarterback is the hardest position in sports. So new coach, new system, we've got to have a lot of new habits. I think playing
quarterback. Had to break bad,
Yeah.
The habits of the previous regime.
And kind of from college, too.
Yeah,
where it's
no,
just like
for
you
sure.
Could be Superman and, you don't have to necessarily play on time. I was pretty encouraged by Caleb last week. I thought, the ball came out on time more, used Cole Kmet more, kind of, threw into the blitz pretty well. So but it's like Connor's, top three in the league in scoring.
Right.
So at
right.
some point.
And his rookie year, he won rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
So Caleb wasn't in that mix last year.
No, not even really close. No. So I think it is Connor. It's good to have multiple stars in the city. But at this point.
Did you see Caleb on Instagram give a little shout out to Bedard last
no,
night?
No, I like to see that. I love when the city's all
vibing together.
I love
the crossover
together.
When you've got different players on different teams.
Yeah, I like that too. So, and that was always the thing back in the day with Chelios and Mark Grace and all those guys would always kind of run around and have fun. So I hope that's a thing. And, we saw Bedard and Nazar at the Cubs playoff games too. So, you just want the good vibes to keep on rolling. And there is just something about these Chicago winters where it's like you're so miserable and it's cold and it's dark for 18 hours. And it's nice to be able to go home, flip on the game, flip on the pregame show, see a handsome guy, Pat Boyle, staring back at you, and then watch the game and be genuinely entertained until you have to go to bed.
You know, we've been kind of selling hope for the last few years. We're finally seeing hope on the ice, and we're not even having to sell it.
No.
It sells itself.
I mean, then we ask Granato, should we believe? He's like, yeah.
Believe.
Cause
and there's more reinforcements on the way because you take a look at the prospects at every level they're at. They are the top player in said league.
We're like 20% of the way through this rebuild. You know, that's like the scary part. So if Kantsarov is a guy and, you know, the BU kid, Beauvert, like they have like a lot of guys kind of coming through the system. And it's like they don't all have to hit. But Kyle's and his team, it's been remarkable so far. So then it's like the big bodies. Because they drafted all these small, speedy forwards. And then the last couple of years, they've been getting some big, meaty, 6'5", 6'6", guys who can also skate as forwards. You start adding power forwards into the mix, and then you kind of got everything. And they got the right attitude. Even Colton Dock, who I think a lot of people had written him off. He was either at the top of the league or right near it in hits. And he's a scrappy guy. And he's carved out an NHL career just by...
Nice little redirection the other night.
Big time.
He's accepted the role that they told, and that's the thing. Blash,
yeah,
basically to a man, told each guy what he kind of expected from them. And talking to Colton, he listened to it,
yeah,
and he accepted it, well, and now he's executing.
And it's like, do you want to be in the NHL or
exactly.
not?
Exactly.
Yeah,
like you're not talented enough,
right?
As far as offensively, if you want you. We don't have a lot of big guys.
Go plaster somebody.
Yeah.
And he's doing it.
He's doing it.
And he looks like he's enjoying himself.
Well, we're enjoying it. Blackhawks have been a lot of fun. Back in action tomorrow night against Seattle. That is going to do it for the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. We'll see you next Wednesday.